Welcome back to the Smith and Seidel Show. Jake Seidel, Zach Smith with you. And Zach, big week. Somehow we finally made it to the last week of the regular season in the NFL. At least three of the four teams in AFC North did, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, what the craziest part about it is this season's flown by. It doesn't feel as though it's week 18 already, and somehow we're here. And to no one's surprise, three of the four AFC North teams are in it till the end. A lot of us thought, I think, that all four would be in it till the end. Two of the three clinching spots being the Steelers and the Ravens. Baltimore at number one in the division, the Steelers at two. The Bengals, despite the really bad start that they had, are a game away and a little bit of help from being in the playoffs as well at three, and then the Browns at four.
As usual, the Browns, they're in a race for themselves, a potential spot for the number one overall pick, which I have no confidence Andrew Berry will actually be able to pull off a good pick if the Browns do have the number one, but that's besides the point. But really, outside of the Browns and really the Bengals, everyone has lived up to expectations or exceeded. I mean, we'll talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at what they did. We came into the beginning of the season thinking this is a 500 team.
And if that, you look at the last half of the season where the Steelers played every single one of the AFC North teams twice, the Chiefs and the Eagles, that was the end of their season. We all assumed that those Ravens matchups would have been really, really good, which they were. And now that we can look back at it with hindsight, both teams split, although that first game in Pittsburgh really felt as though it was Baltimore's game to lose, and it was Baltimore who lost it. Then you have the two-time reigning Super Bowl champions and the Kansas City Chiefs that looked the part on Christmas Day, and the Philadelphia Eagles, who really, I feel, are benefiting from that Saquon Barkley trade more than anything. It's crazy how they have become. I think even though the last few weeks haven't gone their way, I still think Mike Tomlin has to be in consideration for Coach of the Year. Just what he's been able to do with Russell Wilson, who a lot of us thought were washed coming into this year, and Justin Fields, who despite the fact that he's been on the bench over the last few years, is, I think, having a really good season, and I think he's got the opportunity to get paid here this offseason. And then you look at Baltimore, really, really slow start, but they've started to find their stride too. Lamar looking like the MVP candidate he should be. The Ravens playing to their strengths, which is running the ball. I'm not going to sit here and say the Ravens are going all the way until they, you know, win a playoff game, which they haven't been able to do over the last few seasons. It's been a great season out of those two, but really, it's been the Browns and the Bengals, for me, that have defied the expectations they had coming into the season.
We came into this season saying the AFC North is going to be the best division in football. I still think that is true. I think the
NFC North is going to give you a run for your money, but I agree.
Run for your money, but the two North divisions have played outstanding this year outside of one or two teams in each of them. But I want to go back to what you said about Mike Tomlin, because as much as it pains me to say that he deserves Coach of the Year, he really does. And I think what it goes back to is benching Russell Wilson, starting Justin Fields, and then going back to Russ and seeing what he has done since he took the starting job back over. Outside of a few blips on the radar, like the snowball we saw in Cleveland, just Mike Tomlin figured out a way to get this team that, again, on paper, had a 500 ceiling. And now they're a Super Bowl contender. By all intents and phrases, they should be in contention for the Super Bowl.
Any team in the playoffs. When you get to the playoffs, I think that from the moment you get in, you are a Super Bowl contender. You are one of the 14 best teams in the NFL. Once you're in, it's anybody's game. And truthfully, as we, you know, look at this coming weekend, the Steelers play the Bengals. There's a part of me that really thinks the Steelers need to win that game. I wouldn't want to see Cincinnati in the playoffs. Joe Burrow has been red hot this back half of the season. You want to talk about an under-the-radar MVP candidate, it's Joe Burrow. But there's a part of me, too, that doesn't want to see the Steelers play anybody but the Houston Texans to start off. So that's going to be really interesting. The other matchup of the Ravens, and the Browns, there's a lot to play for out of either end. On one hand, if you're Cleveland, you want to win that game, go out of the season on a good note, get that taste out of your mouth, how this season has been for the Browns, and go through that and your rival's season for the potential of hosting a playoff game. But at the same time, you're one of a dozen teams that are in the mix for that number one overall pick, thanks to the Giants blowing their tank over the weekend and beating the Indianapolis Colts. But again, the Browns, in my mind, though they have a lot of good foundational pieces, I don't think they're ready for that deep playoff run yet.
I don't think they are either. And I think it kind of all goes back to the beginning of the season where we could all, anyone that watched the game could see Deshaun Watson was not in his prime. He wasn't coming back. He either wasn't ready or he is done. And he was Kevin Stefanski refused. It might have been Kevin Stefanski. It might have been the front office. I'm going to put that out there. But either way, refused to play Jameis Winston. Now, I know Jameis Winston has been benched since those couple good games he had, and DTR has been trotted out there. But you just have to think, how many of those games could Cleveland have won if they started the season with a quarterback that was ready to play? And it's all spiraling from here.
To follow that question, I want to throw two names at you. I want to throw Bryce Young, and I want to throw Drake May at you. The New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers are not good football teams this year. Am I wrong in saying that?
Not at all.
But look at those two guys, Drake May and Bryce Young. Those guys have won a couple of games for those two teams that have had no business of winning games. And they've elevated their play because of it. Now, football is maybe the biggest team game that there is. And if you're going to succeed in the NFL, you need a solid signal caller. It's not the end-all be-all, but it's important. And for the Cleveland Browns this offseason, I feel that it's really important to answer that question. I went on record, not this season, but last season, one of the first seasons that Deshaun Watson was entering the year healthy, and I said that the Cleveland Browns live and die with Deshaun Watson. If they do really well, it's because Deshaun played his butt off. If they lose, it's because of Deshaun Watson. And lo and behold, here we are, a year after being in the playoffs and maybe a play or two away from a Super Bowl run, the Browns are right back in the same spot they've been for the last 10-plus years of competing for the number one pick. And it starts there. It starts there.
It starts there, but I also think the Browns have missed too many draft picks. I know they haven't had a first-round pick in 3 years, but name one successful Andrew Berry draft pick.
That's hard to say. That's really hard to say because Andrew Berry gets credit for a couple, but he really hasn't done anything that's blown my mind. The Browns went all in on a Super Bowl push that wasn't there, quite frankly.
And you look at the draft, JOK, pretty much the only player I think we can say that has developed that Andrew Berry is drafted, but he's been injured a lot. Now, he has brought some talent in via trade. You know, you look at Jerry Jeudy this year. That's good, but the Browns are going to have a top five pick in this year's draft if it's not traded away. If you are a Browns fan, if you are the Browns coach, do you trust Andrew Berry to make the right pick?
I think that there's so much going on with the Browns in general that I don't necessarily know if the pick is the biggest question, and that's the worst part. There's a lot of skepticism surrounding the Browns front office, and I do put Andrew Berry in that mix of front office, although most times it's the Haslams that is going to get focused on in that question, which they're in hot water themselves lately in the city of Cleveland. But for me, I think that as an organization, you need to have a very, very good long conversation. I don't think that Kevin Stefanski's going anywhere. You're looking at a two-time coach of the year, and at least in my opinion, a guy who was handcuffed this season. And no, we're starting Deshaun. Deshaun's hurting this team. No, you're going to start Deshaun. I don't think we should start Deshaun. Well, Deshaun's going to start anyway. I think that he was really handcuffed. And I think to an extent, Andrew Berry was too. But again, you give up the haul, you give up the contract you did to get a guy like that, you made your bed, you got to live with it. You got to lay in it. You got to go and deal with what you just did. And I think it's safe to say that the Deshaun Watson experience is over. The fact that he restructured his contract to help make money a little easier for Cleveland next year, I think helps. And I don't think that he'll be getting out of Cleveland anytime soon. But at the same time, you're only kicking the can of that massive cap hit down the road. And I don't think that's helpful. So with a potential top five pick on the line, I don't know if I trust Andrew Berry to make that pick. I know I went on a little tangent to go all the way around, but I don't know if I trust Andrew Berry to make that pick correctly, but I don't think it's Andrew Berry specifically who is at fault for everything that has happened.
Okay, Zach, we're up against it here, but like we said, final week of the regular season. We got teams making playoff pushes. We already know some of them are going to be in. You had to pick a Super Bowl champ right now. Who are you picking?
A Super Bowl champ right now, it's got to be the Philadelphia Eagles. The big thing I got to look at is Jalen Hurts healthy. The Kenny Pickett thing as a backup quarterback, congratulations. You beat a beat-up Dallas Cowboys team. I don't know if I love it, and personally, it's a scary thing to say with Philly, but for me, the Eagles have arguably the best defense in the NFL. They have the MVP on their team in Saquon Barkley. Yes, Saquon should win that award. Hopefully, Nick Sirianni plays him this weekend and he can get the 101 yards he needs to beat that Dickerson record. But for me, the scariest team and the team I don't want to see is the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to stay in the NFC, but I'm going to go a different direction. I think the scariest team in football right now is the Minnesota Vikings. You take a look at the renaissance Sam Darnold's had with the Vikings, playing in a real tough division. They've got to go up against the Lions this week. I think that they are primed to make a dark horse run for a Super Bowl championship and finally bring a championship to the Twin Cities.
I think that's interesting, and Sam Darnold definitely should be the comeback player of the year. There is nobody, nobody that deserves that more than Sam does, and it's good to see him doing that. But, man, you want to talk about a Week 18 fight? Detroit, Minnesota, for the number one seed, the Kings of the NFC North. Everybody's talking about the Lions, those gritty Lions. How about them Vikings?
I would love to see the Vikings get a big win in Detroit. I would love to see them make a deep postseason run. Coming up, the Cavs still on a hot streak. Really historic season for the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about what has worked with the Cavs so far coming up on Smith and Seidel.